Ladies and gentlemen, the sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max Power Hour.
Power!
That is all power!
It's no commercials, no BS, no f***ing around. Starting with Mike Ruco.
A bit.
Followed by today's top six. Top six sports stories. And capped off with a cooler of content.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It's exactly what you want and everything you need. So grab your coffee.
Who wants coffee?
Pound your juice.
This is some good juice.
Because Murph and Max Power Hour begins.
Fight the power.
Now. To all of those who don the orange and black, what Jerry Garcia is to deadheads.
The deadhead is that person, wherever they turn up in society, that's looking for an adventure in America. You know, something to do that's not like what everybody else does.
This man is to Giants baseball.
Good morning, good afternoon, and sit your butt down.
The San Francisco legend, Mike Ruco.
Hey, welcome back, me.
Joins Murph and Max.
Save it for the morning show.
Now.
Sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers. Shop now and save during Happy Honda Days on Now at your NorCal Honda dealers.
On KNBR 104.5 at 680, the sports leader.
All right, well, here we go. We knew it was coming. It was like a, you know, like a storm cloud on the horizon, but the MLB lockout is here, and there's reasons to be upset and bummed, and there's also reasons to not be that upset and bummed, because first of all, there's no season going on right now, so nothing's being affected. You know, it's kind of a optics thing. The bummer is that we don't get any player transactions, we don't get any exciting signings, and the positive news is that they will possibly get this thing done in time for spring training and a regular season to go, and nobody will be affected at all. In the meantime, we our regular hit with Kruko, we had trouble connecting with him. Maybe he's on lockout too. So we'll once we get him there, we'll do it. I do want to tell everybody though, because Giants fans do tune in at this time on the show, that to shout out Gabe Kapler, your 2021 National League Manager of the Year. He's been very, very. Just to let everybody know how genuine he is in terms of like his commitment to the community and the kids and all that, and that he made another voluntary appearance at our Giants Community Fund board meeting and spoke to us. And it was nice. He didn't have to do this, man. I mean, he...
Just so people understand, this is not in front of like a paid audience or anything. This is just like the advisors and the board and stuff.
The board that runs the Giants Community Fund, which
runs
the Giants.
So not in front of an audience is what I'm saying.
We asked him, and he could have easily said, man, I got things going on.
Right.
I got things going on. But we have a holiday board meeting, we have quarterly board meetings, and you try to have some sort of thing in the middle of the meeting that's inspiring or... you know, some sort of, well, I don't want to say entertainment, but just some sort of meat to the meeting other than just reading budgets. You know what I mean? So the presentation was to have Gabe come and share his thoughts on diversity and leadership and all that. And he spoke eloquently and I'll tell you all about it as we make the connection here. I'll tell you a little bit about it a little bit later as we make the connection with Mike Ruco on the UMA guest line. Mike, so much to get to. But first and foremost, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm ticked off. I think everybody who loves this game is ticked off. The inevitable happened. I'm just thankful that it's happening here in December. Nobody's surprised about the lockout. I mean, what is it, 9 work stoppages and 4 lockouts in the history in negotiating the CBA. Initially I was pretty upset about it because nobody who's involved in this now, with one exception, and that's some of the owners that were still here, were around in 1994. Mm-hmm. Tony Clark, I mean, he didn't get to the big leagues till 1995. Nobody. Rob Manfred, no. He's been in this game for 20 years, so he's seen this game when it's been rolling. He got in, what, 2001? Mm-hmm. 1994 was so catastrophic to all of us that love this game. And I'll tell you what we did as broadcasters. You know, to the Giants' credit, they kept paying us. But they wanted a little something for the effort, right? So we, Dwayne Kuiper and Ted Robinson and Hank Greenwald and myself, we would go to Candlestick. And I think at the time there was about 9,000 season ticket holders. We called every one of them. And basically, you know, said two things. We're sorry and hang in there. We were so psyched when we got a phone machine where we could just leave a message. Because, you know, we were talking, and people didn't want to hear what we had to say. They're ticked off. And the one thing that I'll never forget about that time was that there were some incredible fans that just turned their back on the game and just said, I'm over this.
Yep.
And it was one of the worst things that we'd ever done as a team, as a sport. Didn't pick up the second half of the season, didn't go to the playoffs, had no World Series. The mistake going into that year was that they entered the season with no CBA. They said, okay, we're just going to go ahead and continue to negotiate into the season in good faith. And that card was played. The strike happened middle of the season and never came back, and we made the biggest mistake that we ever possibly could make. So since that time, all of us who went through that, we're gun-shy. We're gun-shy because we just can't treat the fans like this. I get it. It's business. I get it. There's a collective bargaining agreement that has to be negotiated. There are some flaws in it. The players, the last collective bargaining agreement, just got their ass kicked. Mm-hmm. So they need to atone for some of the things that are issues that they want to address. And I think they will, and I think it'll get done. So I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say what has happened has had to happen. I do think that it's going to get resolved, and I don't think we are in jeopardy of having any games lost. That's what I truly believe.
Well, I think everything you said there is on point. First of all, it's how bad 94 is, and you're right. People need to know their past. But also, there is, and I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna here, but there is a chance that, you know, everything goes fine. It's bad optics. It's a bad headline. But come March 31st, we could have opening day. I mean, there is a real strong chance of that. So that's the thing we want to focus on. Just a little history here, Mike. What you're talking about, 94. So since then, there's been nothing. Over the last 26 years, the union and the league have, according to this report, successfully negotiated 5 CBAs without a work stoppage after having 8 in the previous 23 years, from 71 to 94. Mike, that would be your era. And you guys, you know, 71 to 94, a lot of turbulence, a lot of stuff that had to get done. Do you guys look back on that and, you know, compare that 25-year stretch versus the last 25 years?
It was horrible. It was a complete education, and we... You know, you get into professional baseball and you've got stars in your eyes, and at some point in time, you learn that it's a business. Mm. And, you know, we were involved in lockouts and work stoppages and strikes. And the one thing that you came away with was, indeed, it was a business. And you definitely paid attention to what was being said. You were totally in tune with all of the issues that were coming from both arguments. And that's something I learned at Cal Poly. I mean, I learned how, you know, I was very impassioned about my stance, about what I felt like, obviously, from being a player. But I also spent time to learn the perspective from the owner. In any argument that I ever get into, I try to analyze both sides of the argument. Mm-hmm. And then I try to have at least 6 layers of rebuttal mm-hmm. for both sides of the argument. Mm-hmm. And it was a big learning experience for me. I learned about the business side of the game. I learned about what was important to owners. I knew what was important to players. And things were ironed out, and for the longest time, you know, players were not getting their fair percentage of the baseball gross. And, you know, things had to be changed, and they were. And the game flourished. The game flourished. And now look where we are right now. I mean, Bob Lurie bought the Giants back in 1976 for $7 million. Max Scherzer just signed a contract where he's going to get $43 million a year. I don't even think Marvin Miller could have forecast that.
Right, right.
I mean, but the game has been, it's been healthy. It's been great. It's people like it. So along the way, I mean, whatever we went through, it seemed like we got things resolved quicker. Now it just seems like it takes a lot longer to get anything done, and it moves a lot slower. And I think from that perspective, it's very frustrating for all of us that are fans.
Yeah, so just for people who want to know, like, you know, in terms of opening day, Mike, they're saying this could be basically like a 3-month sort of stare down, and then the history of negotiations is it gets done at the last minute. And most people are projecting you need about 3 weeks maybe for a team to get ready. So theoretically, Mike, this could go into maybe early March if they want to have a March 31 opening day. And we all want that, like you said. Would you say about 3 weeks a team could get ready? And therefore, December, January, and February, we might not see much movement.
Well, you're right. I mean, and that's why the owners had to do what they had to do to lock it out. I mean, the only pressure you can put on because of a December deadline is to say, okay, well, we're going to lock it out, which means they're not going to be able to negotiate with any free agent. There can't be any deals made. So everything just stops. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's the only pressure you can put on it. I think, you know, realistically, I hate to see him take one day away from spring training. You know, we saw an abbreviated spring training in the 2020 season, and we had a ton of injuries. And not only did you have a ton of injuries in 2020, you had a ton of them in 2021. So I do think that there's an effect that doesn't necessarily apply to 1 year. I think it applies to two and maybe even more years than that. We saw this in my first big league camp in 1976. The camp was like 2.5 weeks long. You know, I was there, and you know, you didn't even ever, we just stood there and got suited up and ran sprints. That was our spring training, our first big league camp.
Right.
You didn't pitch. They couldn't allow you to get on the field because they needed to get everybody ready.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster. They had a ton of injuries. And so I don't think, realistically, I don't think they want to miss a day. I mean, could they? Yeah, but you're really rolling the dice. And with what they're paying for people now, the importance of health is at an all-time high. So I don't think that they're going to be willing to do that. I hope that they can get this thing done. You know, the other thing, too, is you take a look at the business of baseball. You know, right away, as soon as that thing happened last night, I guarantee there was a lot of concern with every employee that works in the front office. There was a concern for everybody that works the ballpark during the season. Because now you're in limbo. I mean, nobody talks about, you know, for the person who's in marketing that is selling advertisement for the first and second quarters of the season, well, what do? Nobody wants to buy that now. Very hard to sell. Season ticket holders, are they motivated to go out and buy season tickets? So all that kind of slows down, and that's a big concern in front office. This is a very busy time of year for front offices. And so there's a lot of concern, and I hope that they can get this thing resolved quick, and all of that side of baseball can resume, because it affects a lot of people.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
There's a lot going on in terms of, you know, the salary structure. It's hard for people to understand, like, wait a minute, Max Scherzer and Marcus Semien and Kevin Gausman and all these big deals. But I guess, Mike, the easiest way to say it is that the players' union is concerned not about those guys. Those guys are doing unbelievable, right? They're buying islands or whatever. But they're concerned more about the middle and lower tier players and in terms of their ability to make money or get a piece of this pie, as it were. And I know we don't want to get too into the weeds here, but is that the most simple way to explain it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big concern. And I think one of the suggestions is to have everybody become a free agent at a certain age. And 29 and a half years old has been that suggested age. I think one of the things that the association has been upset about for 20 years is the fact that guys who are top prospects, you know, and Chris Bryant, for example, Buster Posey. I mean, they all started late. They all started a few weeks into the year, so that when, you know, that they were playing, when their sixth year came up, you know, they would end the year at 5 years, 4.5 months, mm-hmm. meaning they'd have to play one more year in its entirety to qualify as a free agent. If you just set up an age limit, then at age 29 and a half, everybody becomes a free agent. I mean, you could be in the game 1 year, and all of a sudden, you know, now you're 29 and a half, you qualify for that. I haven't really thought that through. I do think from a player's perspective, it does make it a bit fair, and they don't have to worry about, they all generally will get to the free agent limit at a much earlier age and a much more productive age. It's been suggested by economists that, hey, why not make everybody free agents every year?
Right.
I mean, that's been thrown out there. I mean, that'll never happen, but that is definitely one of the premier issues they're talking about, the one you just brought up.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, if people want to get into it, they can. There's literature out there on it. It's pretty mind-numbing, but it is obviously when people say it's millionaires versus billionaires, well, there is, I always say there's a pie. I mean, the revenue is a pie. And the players are like, hey, you know, give us our fair share of that pie. And so it's how you view the world. And like you said, Mike, hearing both sides and all that. So Into the Weeds isn't always the best, like, sports talk radio, like, electric stuff in the world. But we can get into it a little bit as the weeks go on and stuff. But there was activity yesterday, and the Giants did officially sign Alex Wood and Alex Cobb. So, Mike, as we go into the lockout, they do have four starters. They got Logan Webb, who's just, I can't wait for him on, you know, opening day, which I'm hoping will happen. You got Logan Webb, you got Di Sclafani, you got Wood, and you got Webb. And I guess the way to look at it is, well, you traded sort of Gausman for Cobb, I guess. I said Webb, I meant Cobb. You sort of traded Gausman for Cobb, and maybe that makes people a little uneasy. I don't know. I mean, Farhan says he's not about 162. He's not about five starters. He's about 162. Just feeling long-winded way of asking you how you feel about the four starters they have and the movement they made, losing Gausman and adding Cobb.
Well, I'm sorry to see Gausman go. I mean, I thought that you know, he was a great presence on the field in the clubhouse, and I liked everything about the guy. Plus, you know, he was a Giants fan as a kid. He wanted to stay. But the economics of the game are such that he got a better deal, and at that point, you know, you take the best contract, and that's what he did. I think that what Alex Cobb represents is a guy, you know, he's got 10 years in. He's a sinker baller, strike thrower. I mean, he's a guy that you're looking to get five or six every time he goes out there, and he can give that to you. Historically, he's had some injury issues. So, I think he's a great component in that rotation because you can count on him with stuff when he shows up and he gets out there. And if you could get between 25 and 32 starts, I mean, you'd take that. He's not the same presence as a Kevin Gausman. Gausman's a guy who goes out there every time, and I'm thinking he has a chance to throw a no-hitter. The only guy who has that type of presence now is Logan Webb, and we all feel like every time he goes out there, he's going to do that. He's going to shove every time he takes the rubber. But I do like the four guys that they have. I like the fact that they're strike throwers. I like the fact that they know how to pitch. I know they don't get rattled when innings go against them. They can have an inning where they give up four and come out and give you three zeros after that. I like that. Again, this is an era where the starting pitcher isn't asked to go seven, eight, or nine innings. They're asked to go five or six. And, you know, all those guys can definitely do that, which tells you that there's more pressure on bringing up more arms that can lengthen out starting pitcher candidates. I mean, we saw this last year that, you know, you need eight or nine guys in your system. And you need to have, you know, 20 or 24 guys in your pen or candidates to come up and fill a spot when guys are down. Injuries are such an incredible part of this sport. So I like what they've done with the rotation. It was a priority. They got it done. And in my mind, they got four good ones to go. They flip the ball every fourth day or four. We don't know who's going to be in the fifth slot. That remains to be seen. Whether it comes up from the minor league system or they get another arm, I don't know. But so far, every guy they have, I have no problem giving them the ball consistently.
I agree. And he mentioned, Farhan mentioned yesterday, those prospects. Tyler Beedy remains a name they still talk about all these years. Sean Jelly, Sammy Long. So this is the kind of, as Farhan himself said, those five starters on opening day that you think are going to make your 162, history shows they don't make your 162. You know, guys, you need other guys. So interesting. What's interesting too, Mike, is that any panic Giants fans had, and I confess I had a little bit when I saw everybody signing. Oh, I wanted Scherzer. Oh, I wanted Seager. Oh, I wanted Gausman. But you know who's still available when this whole thing ends? And I'm assuming it will end. Listen to some of these names that are still out there, Mike. Carlos Correa, Freddie Freeman, Carlos Rodon, Kenley Jansen, Chris Bryant, Trevor Story, Kyle Schwarber, Nick Castellanos, even old Nelly Cruz, if there's a DH, he's available. So, I mean, any panic about that they missed out, there's still shopping to be done.
Well, and there's a ton of guys below that, too. There are another 25 guys that are good big league players that are going to be available. That's the tier we're talking about, the tier that's kind of been getting dumped on
right
here the last
exactly
10 years. I mean, so there's a lot yet to be decided about rosters before teams come into camp, and that's going to be really interesting because when this all gets resolved, man, it's going to be it's going to be a flurry to get everybody signed. And I don't think they're going to get everybody signed until it's maybe halfway into spring training, maybe into the season. That's how many guys are out there.
Yeah, it's true. Remember, I mean, you think about that. I always think about Benito Santiago. Didn't he sign like, I don't know, 2 weeks before opening day or something? Winds up being, yeah. I think he might have won the Willie Mack Award that year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So you never know, Mike.
He, by the way, is one of my favorite all-time Giants. There was nobody cooler than Benito. Nobody.
He was, man. And how about that catching style? I want to say, was it Tony Pena, the old Red Sox, was the first guy? Or maybe you can, you know, you tell me, Mike, you're the big league pitcher.
Yeah,
but those guys who started splaying their legs out.
Yeah, with the leg out. Yeah, right.
That was never, you didn't see that coming through the minors, did you?
No, I didn't see it in the minor leagues. I think Tony Pena with the Pirates was the first guy that I saw do it consistently. And now, I mean, it's a whole technique. They splay it out, and then, you know, they set the glove, then they drop it on the ground, and then they're bringing the hand up, trying to take momentum into the low pitch and bringing that frame into the strike zone and getting that low pitch. That's the philosophy in the Giants' whole system that's being taught. So I think you're going to see more and more of that. But, you know, the game evolves, and it's fun. I mean, it changes. But unfortunately, the CBA, it never changes. Every 6 years, you hold your breath.
I know. Hey, just a little bit on the guys who did sign yesterday. Mark Melancon making his NL West tour, right? So he's gone Giants, Padres, and then he signs with the Diamondbacks. Carey Crowley had a funny line on KMBR last night. I was driving home from the Giants Community Fund meeting, and he said, you know, I'd say for the Diamondbacks, given the amount of games they win, closer was not a very high priority. They might have had other priorities. But you never know, right? Maybe they have a magical season. It's kind of funny. So old Melancon bopping around, Mike.
Well, that was one of the problems I had last year as a bullpen. And I think that if I was to forecast coming into the 2022 season, I think that the D-backs have a chance to be the most improved team in the National League West.
Well, yeah, they got nowhere to go but up, right? You know? And then Marcus.
That's part of it. Yeah, absolutely.
Chris Taylor.
Everything that went wrong, it possibly could have gone wrong, that team went wrong. And I didn't think they had a bad team coming in either.
And then other things included Marcus Stroman signed with the Cubs. And according to the story, he was hanging out in L.A. And his agent called him and said basically, hey, the Cubs are calling. He said he hopped on a plane and signed. It all happened in less than 24 hours. Isn't that wild? Like sometimes, like you think about like these guys who go on long court, like Bryce Harper's months long courting tour. Marcus Stroman's in L.A. hops on a plane to Chicago and says, "Yeah, why not? I'll do 371. How about that?"
Yeah. I was kind of hoping the Giants would get him. I like sinker ballers. I do, and he's one of the best in the game. It was interesting what he said when he signed the contract. He says, "You know what? I've pitched in every ballpark in the major leagues except Wrigley Field, and now I'm coming. Now it's going to be my home team."
That makes it even more random. He's like, "Yeah, what the hell? You're offering me 3 years, 71. I'll get on a plane. Why not?" And then another one is that Rich Hill just signed with the Red Sox. Mike, he's 42, and Kerry brought this up last night.
Hey, Tom Brady's 44.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no. Rich Hill's the kind of guy he could. I mean, what does he top out on velocity wise? I don't know. 88.
Well, with him, it's all about the curveball, and from an unusual angle and. He's got one of the best curveballs and one of the best abilities to add and subtract to a curveball that I've ever seen. I think he had a lot to do with the development of the curveball for Alex Wood, because Wood has the same type of funkiness to his delivery. He collapses on his backside, and then he's got this big breaking ball that he can spot on both sides of the plate and add and subtract speed. That's a weapon. So Rich Hill, I mean, I root for guys like that. I couldn't root for him when he's with the Dodgers, but I root for him now when he's with the Red Sox.
No, and it is funny. There are these outliers on the pitching front. I know Julio Franco played really, he was very old, but outliers on the pitching front. Mike, I always think about Jamie Moyer. I mean, that guy pitched till he was damn near 50. Of course, Satchel Paige is the king of kings, right? But there are pitchers who can go deep into their 40s, man.
Nolan Ryan was in his 40s.
Yeah, Cologne,
Nolan
I believe.
Ryan, 45.
Yeah, there you go, Mike, yeah.
And you know the thing about Nolan Ryan, his whole career, and he said this when he retired, he says, one of the things I'm most proud of is that I was a power pitcher the whole time. And
he was.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
Yeah, he was, incredibly. Tim Wakefield at age 45, Clemens made it to 45, Gaylord Perry made it to 45. So it is. So Rich Hill's like, yeah, I'm just getting started, right?
Well, you know the thing, too, is you last till you're age 45, you can start collecting your pension the same year you're playing.
Right. Wow. Pretty good deal. Satchel, of course, being Satchel. The word is he pitched in the bigs at age 59. All right? So you can never nail down his birthday, though.
Hey, don't make no maybe shows about it.
Yeah, how about that story? Hey, we'll have to, Mike, we have some fun stretching times in the coming weeks, so save those Satchel Paige stories for another day, all right? We'll let you go, and we're sad, but we're realistic that hopefully this thing can get done and save the season in 2022. So have a great weekend, Mike. We'll talk Tuesday.
In a bit.
Mike Kruko, good stuff. You are listening to KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus media station. So there you go, Paul. Are you ready to do 49ers and Warriors for the next?
Yeah, let's transition. Yeah, I'm ready. We're going to have to.
All right, why don't we transition with the man? Greg Cosell.
Yeah, it's time. Time to get your laugh on.
It's a pretty good laugh there.
Yeah.
You did a nice one.
That's how he starts it. There it is.
Did you read the Nick Bosa story by Eric Branch in the Chronicle today?
What about him?
They're basically saying the guy came from another planet.
Yeah, that the doctors are surprised he's playing at the level he is and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and he is.
I'm surprised, too. He's out of his mind. He feels like he's getting stronger as the season goes on, actually.
I'd say he and Bryant Young are the two, and Fred Dean and Charles Haley. Be my four favorite Dean linemen.
How are we going to sort out this whole 97 thing we got going here?
Well, I think
is they're going to have to retire it twice? What are we going to do with this number?
Yeah, retire twice.
I'm not even kidding. They might have to do like a dual ceremony someday.
So you look up on the wall, you see 97, then right next to you, you see 97. There you go. You're retiring Bosa's jersey already.
Well, I mean, if he keeps this up,
The description that that Branch had that I wanted to say. His 255-pound frame includes fire hydrant thighs and a supermodel waist.
Wow.
How about that?
Those flattering terms.
I know. It's getting erotic in
fire
here.
Fire hydrant all thighs.
Right. Greg Cosell.
Knocking me out with those fire hydrant thighs. Shout out AC/DC.
Greg Cosell and his fire hydrant thighs next on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.